You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That is Red Energy, and across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Big hour coming up, Jared. We're going to speak to young Harry Jones.
Well, let's hope
Harrison Jones.
Let's hope Harry can hear us.
Oh, very good. Is that the second time in two weeks you've
probably we've had a couple
Harry
of
Mackay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you decided to back over that. We're going to touch base as well with Ashley Brown and replay our very interesting chat with Stewie Jew. He's under the pump, the Gold Coast Suns.
Yep.
The club is under the pump, not just him. But he had some interesting stuff to say about where that and about that and where his future lies.
Yeah,
as
just on the back of that, I didn't ask you earlier. Do you think he'll be there next year?
I think it's a big 9 weeks for him.
Mm. Yeah, it probably depends on who else is available. It probably depends on how they go the next 2 weeks, 2 months.
Yeah.
At this stage.
Well, some good names available.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
now.
If there was a more likely to be or more likely not to be question, what would you go with?
Oh, geez. I reckon he's right on the scales. I reckon it's 50-50.
Hmm. Yes, okay. Okay. I think you're being positive. Let's move on to Ash Brown, who joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Ash.
Good evening, boys. Good to be with you again.
When you do these interviews via Zoom, is it correct to say Ash is on the line, or do we actually go with something else, like Ash is on the Zoom?
I think on the line still works for the punters, don't you think?
I'm not sure. I'll just have to ask them, because if it wobbles a bit or Robbo sort of cuts in, then at least if we declare you're on the Zoom, people will understand the problems.
Well, it sounds the Zoom sounds better than the line, as they call it, but I think we'll just go with convention.
You've been asking the hard-hitting questions tonight, Jim.
I have. Well, I've got one for you. Tony Cochran was on the couch on Monday night. I've done my market research. Was he good? Or was he not good for the club in his passionate defence of the club?
I think for a club like Gold Coast, any time you've got Tony Cochran speaking as he did on your show, that is good for the Suns, because I don't have enough. They don't have that sort of past player network through the media that can sometimes do the spread the message for the club, as happens at so many clubs. And as a guy, say, like David King does, for North Melbourne. So I think getting him on, it was really good TV. It was so well done to you guys.
I actually, my market research is almost 100% for Tony Cochran, that his PR for the club was a big, big win, that he came out without belittling anybody. He came out passionately defending his club. He came out with some strength. And a lot of people who I just asked that simple question, just all one way, positive.
Yeah, when you look at the Suns, who are their high-profile people in the media? There's Campbell Brown, and really he was just there for a couple of years at the end after, you know, Hawthorn's his club. Gary Ablett, well, he doesn't do any media. I mean, who else is there? Who else?
I don't think they've got one at the moment.
Speak up on behalf of the club.
I don't think anybody's had such a positive enough experience to be sort of a cheerleader for the club, or even a step back from cheerleader, but talk about the big picture. But I've got no question. I mean, this nonsense about trading one licence for another, I think, is nonsense, because the AFL aren't going to walk away from a groundswell of junior activity on the northern beaches of New South Wales and southeast Queensland, the biggest growth corridor in the country, because the Suns have not quite lived up to expectation in their 11th year.
Jared, who's the Gold Coast Suns' best player right now? I'm not just saying purely on form, but who would you name
probably,
their number one player?
Matthew Rowell is probably their number one player. I think probably...
So, I mean, that's amazing, really. A guy's played five games.
Well, not really. He's a number one draft pick. So, I mean, he was an extraordinary showing in his first 3 weeks.
Yeah, but he hasn't even played double-figure games yet.
No, but we've at least seen him.
Who's their second best player?
I think the...
Tuke Miller?
Oh, there's no doubt Tuke Miller on performance is their best player, but Matty Rowell you would hope would go past Tuke Miller, but Tuke Miller is their best performing player. I think Ben King is probably their third best player. I think he's really come along. I enjoy what he's doing. I think...
So he's also a kid.
He's very much a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hasn't dominated by any stretch of the imagination
And then you're hoping for guys
their fullback is a very good player.
Collins. Yep.
But other than that.
And then you're hoping for Rankin and Lukosius and these guys coming through.
Yep. I don't think, well.
I guess the question I'm asking is,
I don't think they've got an A grader.
Yeah. So more broadly, the question I'm asking you is, do you think they've built the right list?
I think it's a list It's a developing list. I think it's a great list to get hold of, Ashley. And I think if you could keep everybody on that list and you could add to that for 2 or 3 years, you're going to have a hell of a footy team.
Yeah, we wrote that. That was a piece we wrote in last week's record. If they can keep it together, they'll be fine. They know that they've just got against that 60 to 80 games. They've got to get them all, as many of them together to that 60, 80 game stage, and they think they'll be okay. But that's, you know, performance like the last 2 weeks don't help, and they're very disappointing. But there's no existential threat to the Gold Coast Suns Football Club, none whatsoever. That's just cloud cuckoo land.
Yeah, I agree with that. Channel 10, they've got the soccer deal. What's that mean for the next AFL TV rights?
Well, it's interesting whether what it will do if the AFL wants a competitive tension around the bid in 2024, the end of that season, the rights are up for grabs of free-to-wear. There's a suggestion that the Paramount have bought a stake in the A-League now or in the FFA, one of those organisations, and that they part of the deal is they won't bid for any of the big winter sports being NRL and the AFL. So from the AFL's point of view, that takes out a bit of tension, competitive tension in the market when the rights come up.
AFL want it on Channel 10?
Junkies. Oh, the AFL will take whoever, but AFL rule 101 for the AFL, Jerry, whoever pays the most money gets the rights. So they'd take Channel 10 if they lash out their biggest check.
They stream and they rhyme with Weet-Bix, Jared. I think that's where we're going. Ash Brown is the chief of the... did you get that yet?
Weet-Bix,
Netflix.
Netflix,
didn't
okay.
Quite work.
All right. No, it's not bad. I was just trying to work out how Amazon rhymed with Weet-Bix.
Yeah, I couldn't come up with something that rhymed with Amazon, so I went with Netflix. Ash Brown is the chief of the AFL record. Ash, hang on there. When we come back, we're going to talk about Chris Scott's defence of Joel Selwood. And also the latest at the Blues, where you see that going with the review. More coming up with Ash on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And, of course, across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Hey, Ash, the Blues, the review's about to start. Things aren't going well on the field. And as Jared and I talked about in the first hour, they still need to prepare for life in 2022, and that is, you know, putting together a list of assistant coaches that could be there next year. Hard to do that when you're going through a review and you're not quite sure who's going to be the coach.
Yeah, it looks like now the way they're going that the review is going to include the senior coach, despite Mark Lagudice's remarks a couple of weeks ago. I don't think a complete examination of the football department can spare the coach. So you can't put together a team of assistant coaches without knowing who the coach is. The rule of thumb usually is a senior coach has a fair sway in who the assistant coaches are going to be.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing now they've got to work out, above all else, is who's going to be the coach next year, and the rest flows on from there.
But the problem with Ash, I said this to Jared, Ash, the problem with that is they can't be seen to making a decision on the coach when they've brought in a review of the football department. I mean, won't the review, Jared, decide the coach? Isn't that the whole point?
I think that's true. Yep. But they could also make a preliminary finding scoop.
Oh, I see.
I like a preliminary finding. I think we've had a couple of those.
A preliminary finding external of the external review.
Yes, I think. Well, that's the way the AFL worked it. Remember when they went through the preliminary findings of the investigation into Essendon because they didn't want Essendon to be playing finals. So they went bang.
No, so
here's the preliminary finding. You're out, Mick. Your Blues are in.
Usually the way the AFL does reviews is they get to the result first and then they work back.
I see. Nice little clip there from Scoop. Now, I've heard a number of people criticise Chris Scott's passionate display after the game in the box.
Who criticised
it? Lots of people. I was asked on radio up in Ballarat this morning about that.
Where you're very big, by the way.
And I was... very, very strong in my defence. I mean, if you can't show enthusiasm after a win behind the after the siren? When can you throw in enthusiasm? And if you're that bloody minded and you are that rigid in your approach to life, you should be working up. You should be living in the USSR or China.
Loved the post-match excitement from the coach. Yeah. I mean, it's a, what else would you want from your coach after a win like that? That last minute that Geelong played was a reflection of there was coaching as much as anything else. They were so well-drilled and they were able to move the ball in the manner that they did down the ground to get, set themselves up to win the game that a minute before that looked very unlikely. So he should have had every reason to be pleased and to show his excitement. But the other issue that is being thrown in with that was his remark, his defence this week of Joel Selwood. The two have become a bit muddied, I think. People are sort of lumping them all in together as in what a week it's been for Chris Scott. You know, and you can have issues with what he said in his defence of Joel Selwood, but you can no way criticise his carry-on after the game. It was wonderful.
Did you have issues, Ash, with his defence of Joel Selwood?
I don't I had no issues in defending Joel Selwood. I don't, not quite sure his defence of the second of the two acts passes a sniff test entirely. I think it was just very, you know, a coach sticking up for his captain. And
Which was the second of the two acts?
Well, I think the clash with Taylor Duray and the leg scrape or what the tangle with Taylor Duray. And I liked the fact Duray came out and said, well, you know, it's he's a coach, he can say that. But I don't think Duray was all that impressed with what Scott had to say.
I've got to say, I thought it was an accident, the second one. I saw it firsthand. I thought it was an accident. And I thought his defence of his captain, Joel Selwood, was not a defence of the action. It was a defence of him saying he put his hand up and said he got it wrong.
Yeah, and that if he said one was an accident, then he should be believed.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that.
No, I didn't have a problem with it at all. Hey, this is to you, Jared, as well. Now that it became big news today, I didn't really realise. I think they played it on 360 last night. Did you have a problem? Oh, not a problem. What did you make of Lee Matthews' comments about the football review, you know, and if he had been David Teague? And, you know, Jordan Lewis also weighed in on David Teague. What have you made of all that, Ash?
Yeah, I was saying before, I think it hasn't been a great few days for David Teague. And as I said, the tone of the discussion about Carlton has turned from, well, but yeah, they need to look at the football department there to very much, does it start with the coach? I mean, just people looked at that first quarter against the Giants on the weekend, Sam, and would have thought, well, that's the coach, surely the message of Carlton was to come out and start hard and to play some sort of pressure football, given the week they'd been through. But they were so insipid early on. You have to ask questions of the coach. And I thought that was Jordan Lewis made that fairly clear on Fox Footy after that game, I think he said, or maybe said it on radio, I'm not sure. And Lee Matthews, I think, again, his wasn't so much a criticism of the coach, but just very clear remarks that if I'm being reviewed, then I'm going to say, see you later. Maybe Lee Matthews can get away with saying that when he's being reviewed. Maybe it's different for a coach like David Teague.
What do you think about that, Jared, now that you've had a night to sleep on it?
Well, I must admit, when Lee asked Wolsey the question, I assumed that he was going to come down with that answer, and that's why I recalibrated with him. And I'm a little bit conflicted because I think it clearly is a much wider review than just David Teague, but David Teague is one of the frontal pieces of this whole review. I think what's going on is that the board don't really trust the footy department. That's the way it appears to me.
I agree.
That they're seeing what's happening at list management. They're seeing what's happening with senior recruits coming in from opposition clubs and not performing and getting paid ridiculous amounts of money. They're being sold a dream of where they should be, and the dream keeps turning into a nightmare. So David Teague isn't the only one under review, and I'd be surprised if everybody in that football department, from the CEO down, not just the footy manager, from the CEO down, is not under serious review. And they should all be nervous because their performance, from a football perspective, has been nothing short of abysmal. So I can understand where Lee is coming from. And if I'm David Teague, I'm probably feeling as if I'm in trouble. And Lee maybe he didn't say he should walk directly, but he may say at the end of this year he may just put his hand up and bail out. But Damien Hardwick was reviewed and he stayed, but that was an internal review. It wasn't the external review that Lee Matthews is talking about.
No, it was external. They got a guy in from PwC, I think.
I thought Brendan Gale did it.
Yeah, no, he did it with Craig Matthews, I think his name is, a PwC guy. Yeah. I stand corrected there. We'll look into it. Ash, as we let you go, Jared's been talking a lot, particularly in Yes No Richo, about shut buttons. We've got 50% capacities up to 25,000. I'm not sure that'll affect the crowd at Hawthorn GWS at the G on Sunday.
I would say it's a GWS home game as well, so Hawthorn members have to pay to go. So I'm going about 8,000 to 10,000 at that game. I don't think there'll be too much worry getting a seat, and we'll all be able to social distance very comfortably if we choose to go to that.
In fact, Jared, we should have a nearest the pin
on crowds
for Hawthorn GWS and Carlton Adelaide at Marvel. Which one gets the worst crowd?
Well, what about Suns and North Melbourne down in Tassie?
No, that's already below both of them.
That's actually one hand. It could be less than one hand.
They had more watching the VFL game at Windy Hill on Sunday, I think.
I think there'll be less people at the... Where's the Adelaide Carlton go?
Marvel.
Oh, is it? I thought it was over there. Yes, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to go with Hawthorn and Giants.
Lower crowd?
Yes, because I think there'll be about 3,000 or 4,000 travelling Adelaidians. They have a good travelling crowd.
I don't think they're allowed here, are they?
Of course they are.
Oh, they are. Yeah, sorry.
One final question. Seeing as Scoop brought up Push Button Sutton's name, and this is a yes-no question, yes-no with Richo question, and it's related to football because I made it relate to football.
Ask the question, please.
Brett Sutton's do as I say, not as I do approach last week when he left everybody in Melbourne to go up and celebrate with his chos in Canberra would not survive scrutiny at a football club. Yes or no?
Would not survive scrutiny at a football club.
Yes, there's a yes. A very passionate yes.
I think Gillen would have had to have resigned the next day, wouldn't he?
I'd have to have.
Can you imagine?
Oh, imagine
the AFL media piling onto Gillen if he'd gone home to South Australia to see some of his swanky polo friends and have a beer with them and then rush back to lockdown here.
And then get on the line and say, oh, well, you can't celebrate
funerals
down the Zoom line. Yeah. You've got to be there in person after he stopped people from going to their parents'. Oh, mate, please.
Ash, we digress, as we often do with you.
We digress.
Yeah. Great chatting. We'll chat next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks, boys.
Ash Brown there, chief.
You didn't
of
ask him what was in the record.
AFL record.
You still with us, Ash?
Yeah.
What's in the record that we need to have a look at?
We've end of financial year stock take for every club. The Bulls and the Bears and the All Ordinary.
Right. The old stock take. I like it.
Ash Brown laughing at a bit of his own work there. Harry Jones is the round 14 rising star. He's going to join us next.